and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not claim to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side. Hey, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, your host, with the second last episode for the year. And today we have a returning guest, and believe it or not, she's back by popular demand. It's Nono, Coach Nono. She's back by popular demand because of your responses to her episode a few weeks ago. And the episode was on the roles you play in your family the roles you play in family. And we do play roles in family. There's the peacemaker in a family. There's the communicator in the family. There's the one who disciplines. And then there's the breadwinner. And that episode got a lot of attention quite unexpectedly from me. Firstly, it had the most downloads, and then it also had the most feedback in terms of when I look at my emails and some of my WhatsApps, people responded so viscerally, especially from obviously the subscribed people who had the entire conversation, which is why you need to subscribe to hear the whole thing. And I was surprised because I mean, when you know that the conversation is good, the guest is, clued up and they know their story. But because I can't quite relate to some of the things, especially black text, and Hakira, I can't relate. I don't know anything about it. I mean, it's not an experience I have. I've never had to black text at all. I've never had to rescue my parents or take my brother to school or a cousin. I've never had to deal with that. I've always just had to take care of myself. And if anything, my parents took me in when my businesses were doing all wobbly things. Twice, I went back home twice. So maybe I'm the beneficiary of black text. But to my defense, it was my parents and my parents' house. I wasn't asking money from random aunts or uncles. So I was quite surprised that it triggered people so much. And you will hear in the first 10 minutes of the conversation, I just tell her some of the feedback I got. So she's back because a lot of people were saying, she needs to come back to unpack a little bit more on the roles. But in today's episode, as the title says, we are unpacking the role of the breadwinner in particular. And perhaps next year we will then really go far and wide in terms of the roles we really play. What do the in-laws, what is the squeezer? Squeezer, mkhadibo. What is Mkhadibo's role in your life? What is Sbali's role in your life? What is the uncle? What is, we'll go into detail with her. And who knows, it might be a series. But all I'm saying is that she's back because you wanted her back. And it was a pleasant surprise for me that, okay, so this is a topic that is quite triggering. I will not be reading Nono's bio. I did that the first time and it is there on the show notes.
all her social media handles are there. And as you can hear, I'm breathing hard because I'm kind of flu-y. You know, this flu that comes that comes and goes. And it's sitting in my throat. But it also could be the fact that I am tired. I've been talking quite a bit the past few weeks. There's been some Zoom year-end parties, year-end functions. I had an AGM just recently where I spoke a lot. And I've just been speaking, so my voice and my throat chakra, or my my throat is straining a little bit. So I'm not going to say anything further, except that we unpack the role of the, or rather no, because it is more of a masterclass, unpacks the role of a breadwinner from a deep spiritual place, as in it's a calling for you to be moreki, to be blessed with wealth in your family or in your clan, and you know you have powers, and stop staying in the victim mode of, oh, my, it's me, everybody wants a piece of me. Some of the shadows of the breadwinner, where a lot of breadwinners tend to want validation, and they are emotionally hollow, so they tend to want to be worshipped. You know, she unpacks all of that, and towards the end, or rather mid to, from the middle of the conversation, where a lot of you who are on the free won't get, she then gives tips on how to survive the holidays as a breadwinner, especially if you are going to go home, for those of you who will not be e-walleting, who will not be sending money. If you're going to physically be there, go high, go Eastern Cape, at Tsolo, at Limpopo, somewhere go Sejero, somewhere go Blatlahomu, somewhere go Matatiela, wherever home is. If you're going to be physically there, some of the tips to survive, bo, R20, you know? Yeah. So that's towards the end of the conversation. But the first part of the conversation is really about unpacking this big, big archetypal role called the breadwinner. And she's not talking about breadwinner in nuclear, in your mother or your father, the breadwinner that takes care of everybody in your family, that takes nieces and nephews and cousins to school, that finds jobs for others, that employs others. It's a massive role. And if you are that, or if you know someone who's that, this is an episode to listen to. Or if you rely on someone who does that or who's done that for you back in the days, this is an opportunity for you to understand who these people are in our lives and their role and how you can support them, you know, instead of just giving them hollow praise, how to truly support breadwinners. And with that, I give you the conversation with Nunu, Coach Nunu Ngosi. No, welcome back. Welcome back in this heat wave. I believe you guys are dealing with heat wave, Coach Obek. A part of me does not believe you. You once said you had snow in Joburg and there was no snow, you know. So listen, I can believe you're back.
Levu, don't play with that. We are literally in hell. We are in the flames of Hades. Okay. We are in the residence of the devil himself because we don't get any reprieve. Daytime is awful. Nighttime, we can't sleep. And then we have to contend with mosquitoes. It's just horrible. Okay, so please take our heat wave very seriously, as well as our snow and hail and everything else that happens. And our earthquakes, as a belief.
All I know that is real is your thunderstorms. I mean, Joburg has like the worst weather. I mean, I don't know what's happening, especially in December. But yeah, no. I think the heat wave is real. It's countrywide, just to give you some comfort. Which I mean, I'm saying it because, you know, I live
in but a safe guys, place. You have the ocean to contain it. You have trees, you have the forest, you have the mountains. We've got none of that. Yeah. So you can just imagine there are no trees to take in and contain the heat and convert it. So, Jay, hence I'm saying we are right down in Hades.
Anyway, welcome back. Just to say this, you are back by popular demand. Believe it or not, Your episode triggered way too many people for my understanding. Kilabana, when you knew that the conversation was great, the guest was amazing, the conversation is necessary, but I was not prepared for the feedback I got around breadwinners, around. I remember this one listener saying, "Hey, Lebu, so are you guys saying Ezra Khadi on the other side or the paternal? I need to take everybody to school. Banabanzabaitzabana, Another one was talking about how the meetings are hardly about the actual breadwinner, where they're never really revered, which is why they throw their weight around, which I found to be such an important and an interesting topic. For yes, she is or he is supporting the entire clan, but they never give them that space to say siyabonga. They never say thank you. If anything, it's the so yeah. Anyway, I'm just giving you feedback that surprised me. Were you was this surprising to you at all?
Not at all. Not at all. Because this has, like I said previously, this has been my reality for the past 20 years, and it's a continuous journey. And it keeps manifesting in different ways. So just when you think you're done with one level, you move on to another. So, and these are some of the things that I go very deeply into in my upcoming book, where I talk about this role is more than just about financial contribution. This role is, it's so deep, it's so layered, and it's a calling, I believe. A calling, because a calling is something that invites you to rise up to your highest self, to your highest version. And it is challenging because it will hit where you are weakest emotionally. So if usually the people that find themselves in this position, number one, it should be understood, they have a natural love for their family. Family is everything to them. Okay. And that is fantastic, because just because you are born into your family does not mean that you will love them enough. Yes, you wish them well, but you will not make their well-being your responsibility. But there are certain people who happen to find themselves in those roles because they already have a natural, that's where their heart is. Family is where their heart is. They want to see family do well. They want to uplift existing conditions. But because they are also human, there are some emotional wounds that came from being born into this family. And unfortunately, the recipients of their help will take advantage of those gaps, of those weaknesses. So if they know that you are somebody who seeks validation, they will use that as a carrot, as a tit for tat, as a bargaining chip, to say that, oh, you want to belong, then do this for us. And because breadwinners are usually unaware of their emotional wounding voids and needs, they fall into those things until they realize that, no man, those people are manipulating me. Why do I always have to give something to get something, and I'm being breadcrumbed emotionally, where they give me scraps of what I need, of what I deserve, and yet I have to give out so much, So that is where the challenge is for breadwinners. And that's usually where a lot of resentment comes. Because you will find that as people give of their money, as people give of their time and energy, the fight will be, I shouldn't even be doing this for you guys, considering how you treated me when we were growing up, considering how you continue to sideline me, considering, considering, considering. And the recipients will also have rebuttals to whatever is being said. So do you see that money, it just covers the surface level. provision just covers the top layer of it. There's
Yes.
deeper issues. And I know for a fact, and also based on my own personal experience, that had you not found yourself in this role, you would not have the opportunity to go deeper and heal those issues within yourself and among your family members. You know, so that is why it is so deep. That is why it is so layered. That is why it is such a heavy topic. And one can never approach it from a single point of view. You know, you have got to really take time and look at it from a lot of angles and understand all of the dynamics that are at play. You know, yeah.
Yavana, you just went deep dive immediately. I'm thinking of another friend of mine who is a breadwinner. In fact, before I even talk about that friend, let's define breadwinner for a bit, because Nahor breadwinner, I'm thinking of mother or father in a nuclear family. I'm not thinking of it extended, and I know you mean extended. So in your context, how do breadwinner work among oyetsang?
So a breadwinner. So it's interesting because if you look at it, Ned, just like most things in the family structure, the family context, and family setup, you will find that a breadwinner hardly just mushrooms out of nowhere. They are actually a continuation of a long lineage. So your parents would have been breadwinners, your grandparents, if you do your research properly. In fact, I don't think people need to even go that far. I know it's true for me. My paternal grandfather was one, my maternal grandmother was one, and so on and on it goes. So anyway, a breadwinner, yes, in the Western context, because that's where the term comes from, right?
The term comes from there. Maybe that's why
Yeah,
I feel
it's
confused.
breadwinner. So it's the person who goes to work to earn money so they can put bread on the table, hence breadwinner. And Westerners, on obviously for them, family is mom, dad, and their two kids, and that's it. But not for us Blacks, not for us Africans, because we are a village-centered people. So my uncle's my uncle's child is my sister. My aunt's son is my brother. You understand? So, and like I say, you would have come from a lineage anyway of breadwinners. This wouldn't be new to you. Yes, you would have been prepared to be part of it. You would have been unprepared, that is, sorry, unprepared to fill those shoes. But if you look closely, you will find that no, this thing is not new. This thing has been happening. In fact, I grew up
An
under it.
archetype, it's an archetypal
Yes, it's
role.
an archetype. Yes. So also, when I personally refer to breadwinners, and I think all breadwinners will relate to this, it goes beyond your nuclear family. It includes your what would be called extended family, your relatives. So, like I've said, your aunties, your uncles, their children, their grandchildren, and so it goes. You know. But one other thing that I want to make mention of is that breadwinners seem to think that they have no control or power in terms of where their power starts and stops.
And where they wow, that's a good point. That's a good point. I just want to refer back to breadwinner being for the extended family in the Black context, and you just made me think that my mother was playing a breadwinner role in a way. Let me tell you why I say this. Go high. There was always, even when I left home, there was always two or three, a cousin or two, and an aunt and a child that were not, but by nuclear, but Blang Leron. Was she playing a breadwinner role? Was my mom
Of
breadwinning?
course,
Oh,
yes.
okay. So
Yeah.
it talks to that idea.
The fact that I have a child and Lebo is in the Western Cape and my child will be going to varsity there. I pick up the phone and say, Lebo, my child is going to UWC. Please look after her. Make sure she's taken care of. What is that? You see, because remember, I'm not making this call and sending you money to go with it. You will discover when you meet up with my child, your niece, that oh, this child doesn't even have adequate clothes for Western Cape. So now you must dala, you must make the things happen, you know. And that is it. It is basically help. It is how families live, you know. That is actually the true meaning of family. But because now money becomes the
Money has
main
come in,
actor, now the issues start. And because money is in such short supply in our communities, then it becomes this. Then it looks like it's about money. And that's when people started withholding, you know, what they have, because it's like, ha, now me, I've got my own problems. Why should I? You know, only because this thing, this currency that makes these things fluid and flow, these relations, is in short supply. And it's the thing that came to short circuit the relationships. But in terms of how we relate, we have always related that way. And we continue to do so. We can't help ourselves. It's in our blood.
Because it's
The
who
only
we are.
problem, yeah, it's who we are. The only problem is the fact that the currency, the thing that makes the relationships flow, is the thing that is in short supply. And so now it causes blockages and it causes hurdles, which in turn causes problems in our family relationships and dynamics.
Well, thank you for that. That's quite powerful. Now, you mentioned breadwinner powers and nun powers. I mean, as you say, it's an old concept, but it's a new concept. It's old in that there's always been a breadwinner in a family. There's always been the blessed one. I love how you phrase it. But it's not a role that gets passed down and there's rules and that's how you do it. This is who you are. This is how you hold your space. This is when you say no, which is why we're saying they fall into the traps of, let's say, if it's one who needs validation, which brings me to a friend story. I have a friend who has, he's wealthy. He's a very, very wealthy man. And I mean, his breadwinning extends to friends as well. It's not just his family. And because he loves validation and being praised and being worshipped, people use that and say, oh my God, you're so amazing. You're so amazing. You know, and then answer challenged or rapatele school fees or anything. And then it comes back really battered because it's crumbs, because it's not real. If I'm gonna come to you, Nono, and praise everything from your toes to your hair
Of
and really not
course.
mean it, I don't mean it because all I want is the 10K that I really want. So your soul knows that, which is why after you've given me the 10K and I'm gone, that praise is hollow. And shame, poor guy, depression often, completely up and down with depression. Now, that's someone who doesn't understand their own power. Do you want to talk about that?
So, like I say, it obviously starts off as you. Okay, so it starts off with the circumstance. A circumstance happens. Whoever was taking care of the family passes on, loses their job, whatever. In my case, the person died, and now there's an open gap. There's nobody with active income anymore to support the family. Oh, and you just so happened to get a job not so long ago. Now, all eyes on you. And now, naturally, you can't run away from the responsibility because it's on you, right? And for the time, it's a bit overwhelming because, like I say, many breadwinners will attest to the fact that they fell into the role. Circumstances happened that forced them into the role. And now you sort of have to find your balance into this. And you are just never prepared for, you understand that, okay, fine, I have to give financially. But also, number one, you're not prepared for the amount of requests that you're going to get. And you're not prepared for the magnitude of the responsibility that comes with you now having to give of this money and all the other things that go with it. you know, because like I said, it goes beyond just you giving money. Now you have to be the family advisor. Now you have to be the one who sees Uti. Yes, fine, thanks for the grocery money, but the roof is falling. Can't you see? You know, like there is just so much. And you find that there's only one of you and there's nobody else helping you. You know, and even if, and in some cases, it's not always to say when I label that there aren't other people earning money, but there's for certain people, for a lot of people, the minute this one person occupies the main role, other people feel like, ah, this is my money, I'm entitled to it, let her do it. And they're just not coming to the party. And you're left, and because, like I said initially, you have a love for your family, it pains you to see your family home falling apart. It pains you to see cupboards, you know, without doors and all of those things. So you also want to help. You want to improve the family situation, not for any other thing, but just for the love that you have. Okay. So, but then now you find that because the demand exceeds the supply, it forces you to sit and question to say, but hang on, I'm not the only one here who is able to help financially and in other ways. Why am I the only one that's always being looked to, you know, to assist, to lend a hand? And this goes beyond your own home, your own parents' home. And now your aunt heard that you are working, and now their child is matriculating, they've just finished writing exams. Please find them a job where you work. And when you say, I can't, it creates tension. You understand? And it's just the type of role that forces you to sit. So what happens is that breadwinners start off running everywhere, trying to find the money to fill the gaps. I will call Lebu, I'll call all my friends to find a job for my aunt's child. I will, like, you don't have a limit. You are unable. A lot of them find themselves being unable to say no. I am unable to, I can't. Because you feel like it's going to make you look like a failure or a bad person, or you know, you care so much about how those people perceive you that you would literally set yourself on fire trying to keep them warm, expecting a little bit of understanding and consideration from them. But then you find that after you have, hey, swim across the seven seas to go and get this thing that they needed, you will hardly get a thank you. And that pains you. And you sit and you start looking at them on somehow. Not even a thank you. And they're like, you were
Or a
supposed.
thank you, or a thank you that comes with, oh, thank you so much. But the roof, you forgot about the
Yay!
roof, and you've just swam seven
Thanks,
seas.
aunt. Because when you go out of your way to help to them, it says, oh, she's capable. It means there's more where that came from, you know. So when you still are unaware of, okay, fine, we get it. You love your family. But beyond that, what else do you get from doing all of this from them? Because other people never got the attention they thought they deserved before they were in this position. They felt like they always needed to work for the attention. They always needed to overperform at school. They needed to do extraordinary things. And yet there were so many others in their space who just needed to breathe to get all of the love and validation and admiration and all sort of compliments, you know? So now that they find the spotlight, they feel like, yes, I finally have my moment. They finally see me. They finally see what I can do. And usually they are met with so crushing disappointment when that doesn't happen, because they find that I'm still that unseen little boy or girl I've always been, even with all of those things. So a lot of breadwinners have an emotional wound of being unseen. And this role in the beginning looks like, oh my God, I finally get to be in a position where I'm seen and appreciated. And when that doesn't happen, the disappointment and the resentment that comes from that. So that is where you will then hear stories of, "Ooh, agasithuki, agasithuki." Yes, she does for us, but my gosh, that is accompanied, you know, by all of the vitriol and resentment and all of the negative energy, because this person is not.
Well, this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek podcast for 99 rand. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says, subscribe to the Stretch Podcast, and then you will get all the episodes in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.